So, we are just about done with this year. In just a few days from now, we are going to check this one off, and we're going to enter into another one, and it just made me want to ask you a question as we are about to exit. How intentional have you been about sharing the story that we just sang about this past year? Like, have you had opportunities, you know, maybe there's people in your life, friends, family, co-workers, students, that you know need to hear the story, the old, old story about Jesus and his love. And you had these opportunities, but you just allowed them to kind of slip by, or you just ended up becoming kind of like a quiet routine type person and not letting your light shine in a way that is more bold and more direct when it comes to sharing this old, old story. You know, I think sometimes we can miss opportunities. And if you're like most of us, you're probably at the answer to that question is somewhere in the middle, Mike, I think. Like, I try to love, I try to be like Jesus. And I just wanted to say, like, as we're exiting and going into a new year, like, there's good news. We got another year coming that we can make a commitment to be a little more, not a little more, how about we say a lot more intentional about sharing this old, old story. I think going into 2025, it's, I don't know about you, I think most people feel this way, but it feels like there's a clean slate. It gives you an opportunity just to reflect back upon last year, and you can start looking at things like, what are things that I want to change in this next year that I want to start doing a little more intentional, I want to direct my attention to? And we begin to start making our little lists, right? And I think that that's a super healthy thing for us to do. I know that we can be pretty pessimistic about, you know, these New Year's resolutions, and that's okay and fine, and nobody keeps them anyway, so I'm not going to make them. But I think it's healthy for us to evaluate our lives and evaluate, you know, the direction that we wished this year would have been, but it didn't happen. But I got a new year, a clean slate to work with here, and so I got an opportunity to make some new commitments and some new things. And I think that Jesus would want on that list is a priority of being really intentional about letting our light shine and being really intentional about not just keeping this this, what does he say, a light and hide it under a bushel, right? But rather for us to be more bold about it. I don't know about you, but that's one of the things I'm getting as I'm reading through Acts is just the boldness that I see coming out of these people. Like they are really intentional. They wake up like every morning with this vigor in them and this zeal in them that they just want to go out and see if they can find somebody to share this gospel with. And it really is inspiring me, and it's got me thinking as I'm coming out of this year, just like how intentional have I been in sharing this old, old story? And is it really making a difference in my life? Do the people that I'm living around day in and day out, do they see that it is making a difference in my life? And for us just to have this, like, this is my purpose. This is what I'm living for. Like, I go to work and I do this and this because I got to have a paycheck to provide for my family things. But what drives me, what really motivates me, is to find somebody that I can tell the old, old story to and just be very intentional about it. And I believe that that's what was, like, driving them. Like, these people that we're reading about, they really believed that Jesus just changed the world by coming back to life from the dead. And they really believed that they had something to offer each and every person they come in contact with. And they couldn't sleep at night unless they did everything that they could to try to make sure that they told the old, old story. Actually, it would have been a new story. But you know what I'm saying? Like, for us not to let this be something that, well, that's the way they used to do it. That's the thing of the past. I found this. I'm going to keep it to myself and try to make sure that I am, you know, nobody really knows that I'm heading to heaven and that I have eternal life through Jesus. But I don't want to pressure anybody. I don't want to push. I think Jesus wants us to pressure people. Because if it's true, then there's people that really, really need it. And I think that that's what I keep reading, is just like, there was an urgency about the message. And the messengers, like, they seem to be kind of on fire about this. And so as I was reading through this, I was noticing, like, a couple weeks ago, not this last week, but the week before, as we were reading Stephen's story in Acts chapter 7, and he was telling this old story, right? He started all the way back from Abraham, worked all the way through, you know, Isaac and Jacob and Joseph, and went into, you know, David. And he's telling this old story, helping them understand that that God had a plan, and that plan was, brought to a flourishing or an aha moment when Jesus came into this world. And he's telling this, and what is it that he got as a result of telling the story? Stoned to death. And who was it that was standing over him as he was laying there lifeless and he breathed his last? It was Paul. And then just a few chapters later, of course, his conversion is in Acts 9, but in Acts 13, Paul's telling the old story, right? And I just was blown away, because, like, there was some similarities in their story that they were telling. And really the similarities were things that all of a sudden I realized, like, we need to be about this. Like, there has to be an urgency in our life about telling the story, realizing that there's something here that is of importance, and it really matters. If it matters to me, and it did something for me, it changed my life and gives me a whole new eternal destination, then there's something here important for me to share. And then all of a sudden I realized that, like, there are some things here that they did that were the same, that we actually can glean from and be inspired on when we go into the new year, if that ends up becoming something that we want to be more passionate about and more intentional about, which I hope that you do. We can like glean some things from these guys. And the first thing that they taught us here, right, is that we should tell people about the faithfulness of God. Like, that was, like, that's our first point, right? I mean, that in Acts 7, Stephen walks all the way through this Old Testament story because he's trying to help set up the Jewish audience that he's teaching about how God was working through everyone's life, trying to help them understand that I have a plan. And that is Jesus. And through this generation after generation, through this lineage, he is going to bring the Savior of the world into it. And he's trying to explain this. You get to Paul, and he's telling the same story, a little different. He's starting with, Moses David, and goes straight to John the Baptist. Maybe it's Moses, David, John the Baptist, I think is what his story was. And he's telling us about just the faithfulness of God. That's like the theme. And it just made me realize that this is something that we should be telling as well. So I want you to take you there for just a second here and just read through some of this I got to get the right book. That Paul, so we're going to be in Acts chapter 13. Paul is sharing. And I just want you to think about that what is behind what Paul is saying was the same thing that behind what Stephen was saying, and that is just helping his audience know that God is a God of faithfulness. And this is what he shared with them. He says, "Men of Israel, and you who fear God, listen. The God of this people, Israel, chose our fathers and made the people great during their stay in the land of Egypt. And with uplift arms, he led them out of it. And for about 40 years, he put up with them in the wilderness. And after destroying seven nations in the land of Canaan, he gave them their land as an inheritance." And all this took about 450 years. "And after that, he gave them judges until Samuel the prophet. Then he asked for a king, and God gave them Saul, the son of Kish, and the man of the tribe of Benjamin for 40 years. And when he had removed them, he raised up David to be their king, of whom he testified and said, I have found in David the son of Jesse a man after my heart, with who will do my will. And this man's offspring God had brought to Israel a Savior, Jesus, as he promised. Before his coming, John had proclaimed a baptism of repentance for all the people of Israel. And as John was finishing his course, he said, what do you suppose that I am? I am not he, no, but behold, after me one is coming, the sandals of whose feet I am not worthy to untie. And he begins to just tell this story back from Abraham, going all the way to Jesus. And it just got me thinking, church, we just spent the last 2 years reading this story. Like, we are at this point and place in our lives now that we are starting to comprehend. Maybe we don't have it all memorized, right, by any means. We don't even have the people's names memorized. We might not even be able to know who comes first. Does Isaac come before Moses and all of these things? But I think at this point, walking through the scriptures the way that we're walking through it, we should start comprehending that this God is a God that has a plan. And this God is a God who is faithful to his people. This God is like relentless. He is not giving up. I mean, these people just shun him and push him aside. They reject him. They don't want anything to do with him. And we're just constantly being asked ourselves, like, why is God put up with these people? And what we find is that God's putting up with these people because God has a plan. And he's going to be faithful in carrying out this plan. It started from Abraham, and he's working his all the way through, not letting anybody step in the way or stop this plan. He's going to be faithful to it because he told Abraham he was, and he is a God who keeps his word. And for us to understand, begin to understand that this is our God. He is a God of faithfulness. And we have this story that has been passed down to us. And there's people that need to hear it in our lives. And we are now been passed this story on, just like Stephen gave it to Saul, and Saul has given it to people, and vice versa, all the way down to us. And we have something that is worth sharing to the people in our lives. And with them, this story started with a heritage because they needed to have this common ground. They needed to help their audience understand how this God is working. And for us, it's the same way. Like, when we find somebody that we know needs the story, whether it's a family member or a coworker or what, we can start with just helping them understand what we've been learning for the last 2 years, that I don't have this all figured out, but I do know. Me and my church, we've been reading through the Bible, and we keep encountering these people that reject God, and we keep seeing that God puts up with it. Not that he doesn't discipline them, not that there's not judgment that comes down heavy on them at times, but he is so long-suffering. I mean, he just is so patient. And it's just like nothing will stop him. And you're just wondering why. What is so important for God to be so faithful? And that is, we find out that it's because of Jesus. And then for us to just help whoever it is we're talking about, just somehow, you know, in a personal way, make these connections. Like for me, it would just be like, you know, I have found that this God who is so faithful all the way through Scripture has been that way with me in my life. I don't know about you, church, but have you not seen the faithfulness of God? I mean, all those years that I just seem to like shun God and push God out of my life, he just doesn't ever seem to be done with me. He just seems to be kind of drawing me in and pulling me back into him. And I don't even understand. I don't deserve it, but I don't understand it, but he just seems to do that. In my own personal story, I might even bring up just the drought that has happened, because you know what's interesting to me is that, like, I've had people tell me that they've never seen a drought like this in their entire lives. And these are people like in their 70s, 80s. You know, for I can remember going through this drought and living in on a well by the, you know, that was that's my main source of water to my house, just thinking, am I going to be one of those that just dries up? And I can remember just thinking, man, in my bones, just like, you know, God, when? Like, I never doubted that there would be a day that rain would come. And I don't mean just a little sprinkle and teasing us kind of rain, but I mean like a gully washer rain to replenish so we can be marked off the thing again. I just got distracted. I want to tell a story, but that's a different story. Back to the drought thing. So, you know, I just remember thinking that God would always bring rain, but I remember my bones just wanting rain so much. This may not be your story, right? But it is mine, just knowing that God's going to come through, but when, oh God? Like, when, oh God, are you going to come through? And for me, I would probably share with my friend just that that's the way it is in my life too. Like, there are moments in my life that just feel so dried up. Like, God is just nowhere to be seen. I don't feel him. I don't see him. I have this major issue, and I don't see how he's coming through for me. And it just feels like a drought in my life. And my prayers just seem to be, you know, producing nothing. And yet I always knew God would be faithful, that he'd always see me through it. I never doubted that he would not bring the rain, so to speak, in my life and my spiritual life. But it just always felt like, when, oh God? When are you going to? But what I found in my life is that he's always faithful. He has always been a God when his timing, and his timing has always been right. He brings the rain, not just on the earth like he did in like, what, 7 or 8 days, 19 inches of rain. And I think we could probably be pretty close to being checked off. But even in my spiritual life, he always shows up. And my friends, he always shows up. My family, he always shows up. And for us to understand that we have a story, and the story has to be about God's faithfulness and the fact that he has a plan, and he always is going to carry this plan out, and he's always going to show up. And this is where Stephen, and this is where Paul find us. Here's the second thing that I saw. Not only that they all emphasize the faithfulness of God, but they also share the truth about Jesus. It's in Acts, starting with chapter or verse 26. And it says, "Brothers, son of the family of Abraham, and those among you who fear God, to us have been sent the message of this salvation. For those who live in Jerusalem and their rulers, because they did not recognize him or understand the utterance of the prophets, which are read every Sabbath, fulfilled them by condemning him. And though they found in him no guilt worthy of death, they asked Pilate to have him executed. And when they had carried out all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a tomb. But God raised him from the dead. And for many days he appeared to those who come up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are now his witnesses to the people and are bringing you the good news that what God promised to his fathers, this he has fulfilled to us through children by raising Jesus." And the whole point is that Paul does the same thing that Stephen does and anybody else that's sharing the gospel, and that is taking the old story and moving it right into this Jesus and focusing it on him. I want to drop down in verse 38 and 39. It says, this is kind of the conclusion part aspect of his message, but he says, let it be known to you, therefore, brothers, that through this man, forgiveness of sin is proclaimed to you. And by him, everyone who believes is freed from everything from which you could not be freed by the law of Moses. In other words, to his Jewish brothers and sisters, there is something that was accomplished here, and that is that sins were finally dealt with once and for all through Jesus. And this is the only way that you are going to find your salvation. You know, every story that we ever tell that has any value whatsoever has to end with Jesus. Like, it has to be the focus. If we're doing just good deeds, for instance, like we just are loving people because Jesus taught us how to love, that is a good thing. I'm not saying it's a bad thing, but if we end there, people might misunderstand our love, and they might just think that we just want a pat on the back. Do you see what I'm saying? But if we follow through and help them understand why we are loving because Jesus has taught me how to love, and we're loving to make him shine, not to make us look good or shine or stand out or get praise or glory, but rather we want to make sure that you understand, we want you to recognize that all of my love is coming because of Jesus. And I'm trying to bring glory to him and lift up his name, so to speak. And I think that that's super important for us when not only will we start with just talking about the faithfulness of God and how faithful he's been, but making sure that we always go straight to the heart of it, and that is sharing Jesus with people so that there's clarity there. There's no misunderstanding what our deeds are got to do with and why we're doing what we're doing. You know, a preacher called me the other day about a situation that he was facing with a family in his church. Like, there's this family that is very prominent in his church. They tend, you know, all time with for everything. And they have a family member who is on her deathbed, and she just got to the point where she just didn't want to live anymore. And so she quit eating, quit, you know, drinking. She just wanted to die. And so they came to my preacher friend and asked if he would go and speak to her and try to encourage her to not give up on life, right? And so he was on his way, actually, to go do that. And he called me just to kind of brainstorm, maybe like, you know, how could I handle this? You know, you have any ideas? How would you have done it? Or how would you do it? And so we were just talking about it, and he was inclined to kind of do what the family wanted him to do, which was mostly focus on just the aspect of convince her to want to live, to drink and to eat and things like this. And I said, well, you know, there's nothing inherently wrong with wanting to die. Like, I mean, if you read the Bible, it seems like a whole lot of people are wishing this world away and wanting to just be done with it, right? Because life is just tough. And it brings, there's a lot of pain and a lot of struggle and a lot of suffering that goes in life. For us to want to just be done with it in some aspect of our life, I don't think that that's inherently wrong or evil. In fact, Paul even felt that way, didn't he? In Philippians 1:23, Paul says, I am hard pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account. Like Paul had this like desire to just be done with this and talk about a man who had suffered a lot. But he was motivated to stay because he felt like God still had something for him to do, a mission and you know, to accomplish, and he felt like the people needed him to do it. And that's what motivated him, but him just wanting to be done with this world, I don't think that there was anything wrong with that. I think there's, in some ways, there's something really healthy about that. And so we were just talking about that aspect of it, right? And so what I encouraged him to do is just focus on having a meaningful conversation with this lady about her relationship with Jesus, because I forgot that I left this part out, but not only did she refuse to eat and drink, but tragically, she did not have any kind of relationship with Jesus. She had just been, you know, a rejecter of Christ all of her life. And I said, that's what I would focus on. I wouldn't try to convince her to want to live longer, but rather just focus on, you know, her relationship with him. Because she needs to understand that she doesn't want to leave this world without understanding who Jesus is and accepting Jesus. Like that is something absolutely vital, necessary. And who knows, if you help her understand who Jesus is and she accepts Jesus, she might be like Paul and just be like, you know, I need to live longer. I need to tell other people my story. And maybe that would be motivation but even if for some reason she doesn't have the desire to want to further her days on this, at least she knows for sure where she's going and this eternal glory that is awaiting us and this joy that is awaiting us. And not exit just hoping that she just comes to nothing and it's just, you know, I'm just done with this world and I end into, you know, oblivion of some sort, because you and I know that she's going to have a rude awakening. And that the Bible tells us that if we exit this world without Jesus, we don't just go into nothing, but that we go into something that is far worse than you could ever imagine, the worst day that you could have here in this world. Like, it wouldn't be a relief to her. And that's kind of where our conversation kind of ended, for the most part. But I want to just pick up on this a little bit, because sometimes I think we have a tendency to ignore the things that we don't want to deal with. But the Bible vividly describes the horror of hell. In Matthew 13:42, Jesus himself says that it's a place where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. You think he was exaggerating? Oh, Jesus, you're just exaggerating. No, Jesus is a truth teller. I think he was telling it exactly truthfully. It wasn't a hyperbole, what is that word? That's right. It wasn't that. Revelations 20:10, it describes hell as a lake of fire and sulfur, where the torment is eternal. It's not for a period of time and then it just quits. We can't wrap our mind around eternity, I don't think, quite yet. But we do know that it's something that doesn't end. There's not an end to it. Mark chapter 9, verse 48, it speaks of hell as a place where there worm does not die and the fire is unquenched. And see, we just try to ignore these kinds of thoughts. And the good news is that Jesus says what? In John 14. Think verse 6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. But Jesus is a door, and he wants to be the door of this woman that's laying on her deathbed. He wants to be the door of me and you. Now, I truly believe, just so we're not misunderstanding anything, just like we did with Joe when he was in the hospital laying on his deathbed, that you need to be baptized into Jesus Christ. But he is desiring for everyone to find salvation through him. It is God's desire for everyone to bend their knee and to make Jesus Lord of their life, and therefore making him savior of their life. And so I just was telling my friend, that I would just make it about Jesus. Just in the most loving, caring way that you can. Maybe start with some questions. I don't know. And just helping him brainstorm. But just maybe ask a question. Do you know Jesus? What do you think about him? Just try to get the conversation flowing here. Because that's the most important thing. And if she decides she wants to live after finding Jesus, then that would be awesome. But see, far too often we recognize the importance of sharing Jesus with others, but somehow we end up making it about something less than just being direct with people that you need Jesus. Like somehow we just skirt around the real issue. You know, oh, I love them, you know, like Jesus wants me to love them, but you never brought Jesus up. You never had a conversation literally about Jesus. You never told the old story and how faithful God was and lead it into a relationship and a conversation directly about Jesus. You just skirted around. Was you just hoping that somebody else would come and make it clear to them? And that's one of the things that I noticed, right? Like when we're reading through Acts, they get to the point and they make it about Jesus. Here's the last thing that I think that we need to get from their sermons and the way that they reached out to people is that they expected a response. Like they did not just have a conversation with these people and just wonder about it. Like they drove it home. Like they had an urgency about them. I don't know, but there's this seems to me that they're ought to be just a sense of urgency when we share the gospel. Like this is life and death conversation. This is the most meaningful conversation I could ever have with you is the one I'm having with you right now with Jesus. It's not about the weather conversation. It's not the same type of thing. Like somehow they should sense that within us, that this is the most important thing that I could ever talk to you about. And for us to act like we're skirting around something that is of such value, or to just ignore it altogether, or just to leave it alone, is not. I can remember when my grandpa, my mom and I have been reminiscing a little bit and talking about, you know, the past and things of that sort. But I remember when I became a Christian, everybody in my family was like, I've got to share Jesus with them. I got to share Jesus with them. And I was driving them insane. Like, they were like, oh, here comes Mike. I know what they're thinking. Like, I got to go do something. And I was probably way over the top. I definitely think that I could have handled it better. You know, I was definitely immature in my faith. I've learned a little more about having conversations and working into this conversation about Jesus in a little easier fashion. But let me tell you something. Nobody in my family questioned my relationship with Jesus or my passion or my desire or whether I truly believed this message that I was trying to share with them. And I don't think any of them thought that it was, like, wrong. Not wrong of me doing it, that the message was wrong, made up, fairy tale, don't want any part of that. I think they knew that they needed Jesus. But they didn't have anybody, everybody else in their life was just skirting around it, right? Just live how you want. It's okay. Jesus loves you anyway, kind of that conversation. But my grandparents were on my radar. I had to have conversation with them. My grandpa was the one that was the most intimidating to me because he's always to himself, always quiet, don't enter my space. You make me feel uncomfortable, I'll make you feel uncomfortable, you know, that kind of a situation. But I had this desire to share Jesus with him. And I finally just sat down with him, and I just let him have it. And I didn't know where this was going. I was praying the whole time, you know, just praying for words. And I know that I stumbled all over myself. And I remember him telling me, it wasn't like exactly what I wanted to hear. Like, yes, Mike, where do I go get baptized? You know what I mean? But it was more like, you know, the thing that I don't feel like that I have the right to ask God to save me or do anything in that way. because I have all of my life chose my path and not chose his. And why would I feel like I can just at towards the end of my life, because that's the urgency part of this conversation, is that he was old, he was sick, and he needed Jesus. He still lived at home, but... And so I'm trying to help him understand, it's not how you, you know, start your life, it's how you finish that really matters. Like Jesus is fine with people figuring it out whenever. You know, at the very end, he's fine. There's a story, a parable in the Bible that talks about this, that they get just the same pay as the others, right? And I'm so glad that I had that conversation with my grandpa. And we're always so worried about what they will think that we forget to be worried about what Jesus will think and what we will think if we don't. When we share the gospel, people need to sense that this isn't just another conversation, a casual conversation, that there has to be an urgency. Like there is, if we truly believe that if you die without making Jesus Lord, then you're going to go to hell. If we truly believe this, that he is the only way, the truth, and life, and no one goes to the Father on their good deeds. No one goes to the Father just because wishful thinking. But no one goes to the Father except through Jesus. Then there is an urgency in us, if we really care about these individuals, to try to do the best we can to convince them of this old, old story. And that it's true. And that it's real. And they should see it in us. Like, I have no doubt that the people that I have sat down with over the years, that they don't at least, when I go to them and I am intentionally wanting to share this old, old story, that they don't at least understand that I am passionate about this. I believe this stuff. And that they don't see it in my eyes, you know, this glimmer of hope and this glimmer of desire, that they don't hear it in my voice in some way. Like, there's not another story that you can tell that should have the same amount of passion that's coming from us. And so above all, we let them know by our love. Because it is a megaphone. And Jesus says that. He says in John 13:35, he says, by this everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. And so love is like the way of getting into a conversation with people. You love them first so that they will listen to you. But you got to talk about God's faithfulness. You've got to make it about Jesus. And you got to expect a response from them. And anything short of that, we just are skirting around it. And so at the beginning of this message, I ask you, we're just about to step out of 2024. How intentional have you been sharing this story with people in your life? I mean, talking about the faithfulness of God, making sure that you are super clear that you want to have a conversation with them about their relationship with Jesus, and expecting them to respond to that. When we move into this new year, which is just a couple days away, where are you going to prioritize this? Because without intention, it'll just get pushed aside, and it'll just not even get a start whatsoever. But with with intentionality, I think Jesus will do something that you're not able to do with all the other New Year's resolutions that fall flat on their face. He can fuel this, and he can strengthen this. Let me tell you, if you'll step out just like I did my grandpa, whether it ends exactly the way that you would hope or it doesn't, there will be something that God will do to empower you to be like, give me another opportunity. Help me do this, God. Help me prioritize this. Help me see the urgency in this. Let this be a part of me. When I read through Acts, I see that these people are going to bed with a list in their head, trying to figure out who's next. Where do I go next? And I just want that to be for us too. And the reason is because Jesus deserves it. You know, we're going to move right now into communion. Our communion table is at the back. I kind of like it back there. But we're going to focus our attention back here, and we're going to focus on this bread and this juice and what Jesus has done for us. Because there's a story in that juice and in that bread, isn't there? And it's a story that is just crying to be told. And he didn't just die for nothing. He died for all. And somebody come along and helps you with this story, and it is your job to help somebody else along too. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much.